many nonprofits can benefit from the media exposure they get when they write op-eds that appear in their daily newspapers and are linked to a timely news development. The problem, however, is that many nonprofits that can benefit from this tactic can't respond quickly enough. So when their topic is in the news, they could shoot off an op-ed right away and take advantage of their topic being in the news, but they don't have time to turn that essay around quickly. So what I recommend as the author of Publicity for Nonprofits, yada, 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 you know, insert subtitle here, is that you write these op-eds in advance and that you have them in your files ready to go so that when your topic does make headlines, and it probably will, all you have to do is tweak what you've got already to fit the day's news, email it right away to your local op-ed page editor, and bam, you get a really nice placement. And then, you know, Sandra offers the following tips for writing an effective op-ed. And then I've got 6, 7, 8 tips on how to do it. I sent that out to the business sections of daily newspapers, to magazines serving nonprofit audiences, and marketing communication type publications, and got great pickup. That's, and that I did, you know, 2 years after the book was out.
Yeah, that's great. Everybody thinks that they can only promote their new books. Now, does it work exclusively? It works with all books. Does it work with self-published books as well?
Absolutely. Doesn't matter if your book is self-published or traditionally published. Does not matter at all. What you have to do is link the content in your book to problems that people are having in the world, or problems or needs that people have. And I know already we've got a lot of novelists on the line who are thinking, yeah, but you just used a nonfiction example. That seems really obvious. How do you do this with fiction? It does take more effort to do this with fiction, but it can be done. And I can show you, anybody could, you know, give me information about their book and I could help them pull this out. Let's say, as an example, let's say you're a romance author and your book is set in, the Hudson Valley of New York. You know, it's just a state I know, an area I'm familiar with. You're a romance author, Hudson Valley of New York. What I would do is I'd write a tip sheet that outlined the 5 most romantic locations in the Hudson Valley. And then I'd send that out to media outlets right along the Hudson River, running north to south, you know, kind of like Albany down to New York City, all of the media outlets right along the river. So, you know, you can look for the nonfiction nuggets in your novel and turn those into tip sheets. It does take a little more effort for fiction, I agree, but it absolutely can be done, and it's very, very effective for fiction.
Well, you know, one of the great tools, Sandy, that you have built is this Build Book Buzz publicity forms and templates. And, I mean, there's probably people listening on the calls that have never seen a press release or never seen a tip sheet, and they don't have a clue how in the world they're supposed to do this. Well, one of the great things that you've done in this Build Book Buzz publicity forms and templates is you've given them just the template, that all they need to do is fill it in with their particular data and send it off. It makes it really simple. Is that why you developed this whole workbook that you have anyway?
Absolutely. It came after a couple of years of teaching my class online. I saw that I had really 2 categories of students. One category were, they were authors who were journalists already, and they were very familiar with press releases, and they were very familiar with how to pitch a story to the press because they did it as writers to get article assignments. So I had the journalists who kind of had all that figured out. And then I had a lot of particularly self-published authors who wrote wonderful stories and were great writers but hadn't seen the media side of the business. And And there's only so much I can do, in, you know, like in a 4-week course.
Sure.
So I decided to create this workbook that would give them just fill-in-the-blanks forms and then actual samples. So the fill-in-the-blanks forms kind of helps them build the document, and then the sample shows them what it should look like. And especially for, you know, again, A, the self-published authors, and B, the authors who are traditionally published but don't come into authorship through the journalism side. It it just really helps them see how to do it. And I will say also, Terry, one thing that has surprised me is actually the journalists who take my class have also been buying the workbook too, which I found interesting. I don't stop them, but I wasn't expecting that. But
well,
yeah, it was sort of an outgrowth of a need I was seeing among authors who just, you know, they have the willpower and they want to do this, but like you said, they've never seen these tools before.
Well, you would expect that the journalist would know about that, but not every journalist writes press releases. They write stories
well,
and other
true,
things.
True,
so.
True, and you're right. It takes that's a very good point. It takes a mind shift, and this helps them make that shift.
And so, if you're listening to this broadcast here on the telewebcast or even live tonight, you'll see that on the page where you're listening to this broadcast. There's a big button there that says Build BookBuzz Publicity Forms and Templates. And if you click that button, that'll take you over to the page to be able to buy this product. And it's a universal kind of product, right, Sandy, that they can use for any kind of book, children's books, fiction, nonfiction, whatever it is that they have, and use it over and over, right?
Right, biography and memoirs. And you just made a good point over and over. It's in a Word format, a Word file format for that reason, so that you can copy the template, paste it into a new file, and work with it. And then, you know, next month when you need to do it again, you can copy and paste. I think it just makes it a more useful tool if you can copy and paste and preserve the formatting than if it were a PDF file where you really can't manipulate it or save it very well.
Yeah, and you have all kinds of stuff in this packet. I'm just amazed at the variety of things that you have. Like, even you have a sample book review, for example. Do people really use that, for example?
Yeah, is that not the funniest thing? That's an addition. I just updated the workbook and added more forms to it, including one to use, which you do by email, by the way. But yeah, I added the book reviews because I noticed that there was a trend of submitting pre-written book reviews. And I thought, you know, how clever is that? Again, a lot of publications are cutting back on staff. And, you know, they want to run this stuff, but they don't have the people to read and review the books. So if you can give them an honestly written review, and yeah, it's going to be positive. Otherwise, what's the point, right? But if you can make it somewhat objective and throw in one or two things that you pretend you didn't like about the book, you know, you can probably get that book review picked up offline and online. But the trick is to, you know, to write it in a way that's at least appears to be objective. And so that form helps you go through that process.
That's kind of amazing.
Yeah, don't you love that? And I know one book publicity PR firm that that actually supplies these on an ongoing basis to a monthly business journal. The business journal doesn't generate its own book reviews. It uses book reviews by this PR firm that only reviews its own clients' books.
Wow.
Nice concept, huh?
What a racket it sounds like to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to be polite.
Well, we have tons of questions here, Sandy, but if you were going to look at the whole book buzz area, what would be one of the most effective things that almost every author listening to the call could do that will get the buzz going, but also at the end of the day lead to book sales?
Yeah, you know, that's a reoccurring question in those that were submitted. People just wanted to know, gosh, if I could do one thing that would make a difference, what would it be? And gosh, you know, Terry, I could come up with 10 things, but I think the very, very most important...
Let's take three or four, maybe.
Yeah, okay. I think the very most important thing to do is to really, really know who is most likely to buy your book and zero right in on that person and learn as much as you possibly can about that person. And I say that person kind of with air quotes because it's going to be more than one person who will buy your book. But you wrote that book for a specific audience. You need to understand that audience and learn as much as you can about them, because the more you know about them, the better able you will be to get your book title in front of those people who are most likely to buy your book. And I, you know, I say this because I talk to so many authors, and I'll say, okay, you know, they'll give me like a synopsis of the book, and I'll say, okay, who do you think is going to buy this book? Tell me a little bit about who's most likely to buy it. And they say, well, everybody. You know, or they'll say, like, well, every woman between the ages of 20 and 60. And, you know, in an ideal world, sure, that would happen. But for most of us, it's not likely and it's not realistic. It's more likely that we have a more narrow audience that's likely to buy our book. Just as an example, I had a student in my class once who, great writer, and had a collection of essays written for female homemakers. And she had invested time and a certain amount of money into recording podcasts that you listen to online. You know, they're like interviews. And in her case, they were kind of like monologues, I think. She maybe interviewed herself and had them online for people to listen to. And she was expressing disappointment because she felt that her podcasting wasn't selling any books. So I said, insert mysterious random name here, because I don't like to use first names, Terry. I said, mysterious random first name here. Tell me, does your target audience listen to podcasts? Do they spend a lot of time online, and do they listen to podcasts? And she said, well, I don't know. Maybe not. I mean, they're housewives. They're probably really busy. And I said, well, then it would seem to me that you're not reaching your audience where your audience lives. So you need to know who is your audience, what do they read, watch, and listen to, and put your time into getting into what they read, watch, and listen to, and not following with podcasting or social networking or whatever it might be simply because it's the flavor of the month. You've got to know your audience, and you've got to know where they're getting their information, and then be part of that information flow. So I think that's really the most important, is to know as much as you possibly can about that person who is most likely to buy your book.
So this woman was basically barking up the wrong tree.
Yeah, and she was, because she had heard a lot about podcasting. It was the flavor of the month, literally. She had heard people saying, oh, are you podcasting? Oh, I'm podcasting. And, you know, I mean, she just heard so much buzz about that technology that she thought, well, I must be a loser if I'm not podcasting. She didn't stop to think, are my book buyers, or the people I wrote the book for, are they going to be listening to this? Well, it turns out, no, they aren't. So she really needed to shift her energy, and did, and, you know, put it where it belonged, and she started selling books. And actually, she won a national award, which was really cool.
Wow.
But you see my point. The other thing, when you need to think in terms of who's most likely to buy your book, sometimes it takes kind of drilling into your book and identifying characters that will resonate with, say, lifestyles in the real world. For example, let's say you have a protagonist who's a tennis star. Well, if that were me, I'd be, and we're talking fiction. Let's say it's a novel with a protagonist who's a tennis star. Well, you know, there might be ways to use that to get your book into the sports sections of newspapers or into tennis magazines, definitely into tennis magazines, that sort of thing. Or maybe you've got a character, and it doesn't have to be a main character, but maybe you have a character who's in a wheelchair. Well, then I would be targeting organizations that support people who are in wheelchairs, because those people will resonate with a character that's in a wheelchair and will be more likely to buy your book because they will see themselves in the book and you know, they will be interested in reading that. So kind of when you're writing fiction, kind of use your character's hobbies, interests, professions, geographies, that sort of thing, to help you find the people who you can connect with who will buy the book.
So as you identify those targets, then you turn and see what kinds of things they're reading, listening to, searching for online, and then you target those publications for your book.
Exactly. So
well,
that's the most important thing, I think, is
really
to really know your audience really well, and start small. Start with that one group that you know will buy your book. And I'm not talking about your parents. I'm talking about a bigger subset that you know will buy your book. And it might be your local, you know, your local community, but it might also be a profession. It might be, you know, like in my case, I've written a couple of publicity books. Well, you know, I'm also a member of the Public Relations Society of America, so you can bet I sent